today is Pentecost, and we'll read the story of Pentecost from the book of Acts, the chapter, second chapter. It's on page 771 in your pew Bibles. And then we'll invite several people to come up and share a verse in a language other than English. And we'll put those verses up there in English, and then they'll be read. And it always amazes me that one congregation can have people within it who come from such a variety of backgrounds and languages and still can read languages that they grew up with other than English. So here is the story of Pentecost as recorded in the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This time I'd invite our speakers to come up, and we'll just gather in a line behind up at the top. So, come on. And we'll start with Angelica, who will be sharing in Estonian, and then Louis Garcia will be reading a passage in Spanish, and Dee will be reading a passage in Laotian, and Terry will be reading a passage in German, Alan in Greek, and finally Mirza in Latvian. So just all line up, and then we'll go one verse after the other. Okay.
Keegi ei saa öelda, Jeesus on isanda, välja püha vaimu.
John 3, verse 5. Respondió Jesús, "De cierto les digo, nadie puede entrar en el reino de Dios si no nace del agua y del espíritu."
Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. ด้านหนึ่งของมรรคของความหักความซื่อสัตย์ความชอบธรรมความสงบสุขความอดเพียรมีใจดีใจบุญคุณใจซื่อสัตย์ใจอ่อนโยน สิ่งเหล่านี้บ่มีกฎหมายมากีดกันได้เลย
First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7. Jedem aber wird die Offenbarung des Geistes zum Nutzen gegeben.
Prosomaius pente pente, Romans 5:5. Hide elpisu kataischone, hote hi agapi tu theu ekechotai in tais kadiaisimon.Die Pneumatos Hagiu to Docentos Himen.
Galatians 6:8.
Proti Cassel Sava Miesa Tas Piaus no Miesa Pajusano. Bet Casche Gara Tas Piaus no Gara Mujigo Zivi.
Can you imagine all of those languages being spoken at the same time by the disciples? No wonder they thought, what is going on here? Chaotic in the way it sounds. Well, our text starts by saying when the day of Pentecost came. Pentecost was a festival in the Old Testament before it's a festival we celebrate now in the New Testament.Pentecost celebrated the wheat harvest in Israel, and it was always 50 days, and there, that's why the Penta, 50 days after the Passover. And of course, Jesus was crucified and then was raised during the Passover, so our Pentecost is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. But what was so powerful and why this was the perfect timeFor Jesus or for God to send the Holy Spirit is it people from around the world were all gathered in Jerusalem. And the names there on that map are the names that were listed of people that had come to be in Jerusalem. And you look at it and you go, yep, there's a perfect circle all the way around the world.That all these people came in for this Jewish celebration. We're told later in Acts that 5,000 people were baptized. And after they were baptized, what did they do? They all went home. And immediately, the gospel was spread to the far parts of the earth. And the church was born that first Pentecost.Now, what we know and what was very clear in when you heard me read from Acts 2 was everybody could hear in their own languages, in their native language. So that first Pentecost was a known, intelligible, structured language, and each person heard it in their own language. Today, the speaking of tongues is different than the Pentecost day. Speaking in tongues is...unintelligible sounds that comes from one's inner being and are shared forth. And it's different than the Pentecost that we see here in our text today, where each person understood what was said in their native tongue. Well, as all of this is happening, and you can only imagine the chaos is, and it doesn't say that it was just the 11, it was a whole house full of disciples gathered, spreading these words, all sharing different languages all at the same time. And the people said, what does this mean? What's going on? And so it is that Peter stands up and he says, this is what's going on. Let me share with you what's going on. And he shares a prophecy from the prophet Joel. And what's important is that he changes the words in three different places.Of what Joel said, and each change, though very simple, really reflects a different understanding, a new thing. And so Peter begins quoting the prophet Joel by saying, in the last days. Okay, why is this not? Can you advance that? Just push enter, Emmanuel, on the white computer.Press the enter bar. For some reason, this isn't advancing. All right, well, we'll go without it then. All right. In the last days. In the last days. In the original Joel, it says, after these things. And so Peter is saying it's no longer after these things. These are the last days. Peter's saying from the day of Pentecost, it's a new day. It's the day of the Spirit. And so before Pentecost, God's Spirit only came to a select few. Came to Moses, he gave him the law. Came to Jeremiah and Isaiah and a few of the prophets. It was reserved. God's Spirit only came to a few. And the masses had to then just trust and listen to what those few had. And now he says, but now it's a new day. These are the last days, and I'm sending my Spirit upon all the people. Now it's not just we have to trust that God's sending his Spirit on somebody else. He pours it out on us. So what does this mean? What does it mean for us to have the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus says you must be born of water and the Spirit. And so the promise in Scriptures is when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' baptism, we say we literally saw the dove come on him. When we pour water at this font, at least I've never seen a dove come down. I mean, maybe someday that happened. But the promise is the dove comes down. That's the promise. You are born of water and the Spirit. So when we're born, when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit. We are God's children. We have the Spirit. You may not feel it. You know, most of the people born here in the Lutheran Church tend to be born as infants. Some are born as adults. And when I do adult baptism, sometimes people say, I really felt something. And others will say, I didn't feel anything. And I tell them, it doesn't matter. Because the promise is not that you're going to feel something. The promise is you're going to receive God's Spirit. You will be God's child. Now, the other thing Paul says is, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you have the most basic faith in the world, that basic confession, Jesus is Lord, Paul says you've got the Holy Spirit. If you believe in him, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I haven't seen, don't see any tongues of fire out there. No, nobody's got them. But you all have got the Holy Spirit. See, that's what the promise of the Scriptures is. And that's what makes this the last days. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all my people. And so it marks a new day. And in fact, in Romans 8, I love it, says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is the same Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God. Now, I love that story from Malaysia, you know, where fear, and that fear is the absence of God's Spirit, because what does it say? When we have God's Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, that we are children. And if we're children, we're loved by God, and we are heirs of God, promises of salvation. That's the Spirit. That's the Spirit, God's Spirit saying, don't fear anymore. You don't need to fear. Be at peace. I've sent my Son to die for you. I love you. So the presence of the Spirit is the presence of peace. So when we ask, what does this mean? We say, it means we have God's Spirit in baptism. We have God's Spirit in faith. And when we have God's Spirit, be at peace. Because you are God's children. You are heirs of salvation. Be at peace. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the other thing that second place that Peter changes is in Joel, it just says, I send my Spirit even on slaves. But Peter says, I send my Spirit on my slaves. And what he's saying is, once we receive the Spirit, we become slaves of Christ, servants of Christ. And so there's this give and take thing. On the one hand, we receive from God his Spirit. We receive peace. We receive salvation. We receive so much. But to really be filled of the Spirit means to give back. It means each and every one of you with the Spirit now has a calling. You have a calling, not just your pastor. You have a calling to be servants and slaves of God. And the only question is, how are you going to give expression to that calling that you've been called to? We've already heard Bob Lucan here said part of his calling is he recognizes it to be a Gideon. And that's one way that you can respond to that calling, to say, I'm going to do my part to put into as many people's hands the scriptures as we can. Now, he left out something very important from the first service. From the first service, he told us how many Bibles the Gideons have distributed. How many Bibles do you think the Gideons have distributed? 2 billion, not million, 2 billion Bibles. Are you kidding me? Now that's my servant. That's being in ministry. Or I look at Chris there and I think of our Kairos ministry. You know, he is a slave of Christ in Kairos because that's been his commitment. Or how many of you are doing things in this congregation where that's how you respond to what God has given by giving back? Through our pantry or through Compassion International. You know, I really want to, you know, compile that list to see just how many kids and where around the world we're supporting kids to know Jesus and to be kept in a safe environment. And that's because we don't only receive the Spirit, we hear what Peter is telling us, I've called you to be my slaves, my servants. And everybody has different talents. Everybody is different, just like languages and backgrounds are different. Not everybody is to be the same thing, but we are to give even as we have received, because that's the gospel. You first receive before you have something to give. Receive the Spirit, receive peace, receive salvation, receive God's love. Be at peace. Now, find your ministry. Find a way to take that and to share it with others. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing that we have is he says, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. You know, what does it mean to prophesy? Well, to prophesy does not mean to fortune tell. Prophesy or prophecy is forthtelling, not fortune telling. Forthtelling. In other words, when you have the Holy Spirit, you say you want to share with people the good news that you've gotten. And prophecy is nothing less than just simply saying, this is how I see God in my life, in my world today. How he's acted in my life, how he's acted in the life of the church, how I see God in the world. To let people have hope that God is still active and still present in our world. And so that's what we do. In fact, one of the things we have in Curcio as part of our personal piety is to ask the question, where did I see the presence of God this week? That's prophecy. Telling people, where did I see God this week? You know? And so this morning, did anybody else see God working through Bob? Wow, what, through the Gideons? Wow, what powerful witness and ministry. I love every year you come and you tell those new stories. And it's we don't have to, you just get the word in their hands and let the Spirit do its job. And the Spirit does its job. And people come to a knowledge and a faith in Jesus Christ. And you say, I've seen the Spirit move. You know, I saw the Spirit move when I went up to Oakland and had a retreat with our new intern. Our new intern, Rebecca Swanson, will come in September. And I was so excited to see the faith of all of these young interns. You know, one of the things I've discovered about myself as I've gotten older is I get grumpy sometimes. I become like my grandpa used to be. I used to, as a kid, say, oh, grandpa. And all of a sudden, I look in the mirror and there I am. Boy, the way it used to be. You know, when I was a young pastor, why, they didn't even have homework on Wednesday nights. That was church night. When I was young, there was no kids playing soccer on Sunday morning. They were in church. We didn't have any of that. When I was young, they weren't texting all over. We talked to each other. Rah, 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 rah. Crabby, crabby. And it was so good to be in the presence of these interns who weren't complaining the way it used to be. They just know it the way it is now. And they're excited to go out and share the love of Jesus in the world the way it is now. And boy, I needed that. Thank you, God, for showing me that you are alive and well in young people today. Because sometimes I look out and you say, boy, it just isn't the way it used to be. You know, I sure liked it when the churches were fuller, when nobody was out in the fields on Sunday morning, but they were in church. But you know, God's still doing his thing. His Spirit still moves. There are people who filled with his love who are looking forward to being in ministry. And we need to see that. And so this week I saw God present, not only in Rebecca, but in all of those interns who had that excitement, not complaining like I sometimes do of the way it used to be in the good old days, but saying, well, God has placed me here in these days, and in these last days, his Spirit continues to move. And I saw it in our Synod Assembly with the election of our new bishop, Andy Taylor. But I saw it in the lives of all those willing to serve. You know, our bishop is not a bishop. He has no power. It's an advisory position. And it's a person that advises churches and has to go into conflicts and deal with struggles. And it's a servant job. It really is. It's a lot of administration. I don't know why anybody would want to be a bishop. I'm sorry. But I thank God that he has raised up somebody else who does. Thank you, Lord. You know, you've put me in positions I didn't want to be in before. Thankfully, you didn't try to put me in that position. But servants, I saw that servant heart in not just Andy, but in others who wanted to be bishop. And you say, thank you, Lord, that I can see your presence, that there are still leaders who it isn't about power or prestige, it's about serving you. And the church is in good hands because God's Spirit continues to live and move in our midst, and we see those things all around us. So what does this mean? You know, it means God is present in our lives. So we see the Holy Spirit, not by little flames on people's heads. Not necessarily if you can speak in tongues and have some great spiritual gift, but if you know that Jesus is Lord, if you have love in your life, if you see that you have a calling, not just your pastor, that you are called to be God's servants in the world and find joy in your area of service, then you are filled with God's Spirit. May God pour his Spirit upon us all, that we may rejoice in being his church today. Amen. Well, if you pray with me. Dear Lord God, it's not the way it used to be. And Lord, when I get grumpy or when the church gets grumpy, remind us your Spirit is here, alive and well. And Lord, we ask, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us that we may receive gifts, receive fruits, receive the abundance of love and peace and assurance that comes from your Spirit. But you don't fill us just to be self-satisfied. Fill us that we might then be your servants, sharing all the good things you've given us with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.